Welcome back to The Blank Canvas. You're with Diana Sands and Dr. Barkey, along with Mrs. Dawn Davies. Welcome back.
I want to ask you about this volume set, because one thing we haven't mentioned yet is it comes actually as a two-book set, which is very nicely packaged and everything together. And so it has a really comprehensive presentation. But as a set, how are the two books different? How did they actually, in your second book, how was your approach different to the way that you selected the artists, how the book was sort of conceived of, you know, as far as its composition and how it was put together?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked me that, but I'm going to tell you, first of all, why they're the same or how they're the same.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It has to do with weight. Each volume weighs about 8.5 pounds. So the delightfully boxed set to which Dr. Barkey referred weighs a staggering 17 pounds and is equivalent to going to the gym.
One can also work out with these books,
and that comes at no extra charge. The books, in addition to their weight, both books are approximately 540 pages of, obviously in the opinion of Dr. Erica James, Dion Benjamin Smith, and Mrs. Dawn Davies, pages that are really packed with interesting photographs, images of all of the artwork in the collection, and biographies of all of the artists, and essays in the first volume by Dr. James highlighting 10 artists. And in the second volume, we invited a number of artists to comment on some of the images of their work that appeared in that volume. So in volume two, we're able to hear the voices of some of our artists speaking about their work. And that's quite special, I think. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, volume two obviously has the work of younger artists, and as was previously said, the work of mid-career Bahamian artists, and even more work by expatriate artists, of which I'm very fond. And finally, as we said earlier, lots of photographs, which now I think is an interesting part of my collection. And the collection is still growing upwards, backwards, sideways. It's just a passion and a joy. And it gives me great pleasure, even though no one asked me, it gives me great pleasure to be able to share this with the Bahamian public. I donated a number of books recently to the National Art Gallery for the proceeds from which will benefit their funds. I was also pleased to donate a couple of books present a couple of books at the University of the Bahamas to Dr. Rodney Smith, the president, to Dr. Barkey, whom we now know is the executive director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, but who also serves as the Dean of Liberal and Fine Arts there. So we have to offer our sympathy to him for his for undertaking both of these jobs, but I know he's going to do an amazing job in both. And also to Dr. Bertha May Walker, who's the Director of Libraries and Instructional Media Service at UB. So hopefully the book will be available in the library to any young students who might wish to peruse the pages.
I think there's many people that appreciate your sharing this book with us. I mean, it really does bring together and document so many artists and so many styles and also the number of years. So I think it's going to be a historical document. I think 100 years from now, these books will be viewed and really researched, but will become part of people researching artists of this period and so on. So it does add a lot to the discipline, I believe.
Thank you, Dr. Barkey, and I intend to be here for that review in 100 years' time.
I hope you're still. I hope to be here with you.
And also I would like to say that the book is available for sale at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, at Dungalik Studios, and also at Logo Bookstores and at the Island Store outside of Lyford Quay. And I am making the book available at a reduced cost at the National Art Gallery or Dungalik only for 3 months to the end of April to artists that are featured in Volume 2 of the book. To repeat, each artist in the book is entitled if they wish to buy one copy of the book at a reduced price, either at the National Art Gallery or at Dungaluk Studios.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm sure that many artists will take advantage of that.
I hope so, because I would love them to have a copy in their, in their own libraries.
Absolutely. Well, you know, this book really is art that's taken off your walls at home and is put on these pages. Tell me about your display at home. Do you, because that's, having been there visited and seen how you have them arranged, I can tell that they're very strategically placed and so on. Do you have any considerations when you do your own installation? Do you paint the walls a certain color, or do you position them in certain ways? Tell us about a little bit about your own private exhibition at home.
Well, that's a fun question, actually, because when I was younger, I used to like to have white walls. In fact, I called my house the White House, and I felt that paintings popped and looked much better with a white wall behind them. And then a few years ago, when color was very fashionable, I sort of reluctantly jumped on board, and I painted each room in my home. I was moving from one house to another, so I painted each room a different color. My bedroom is a bright orange. The living room is a fairly dark beige. The dining room is a mottled orange. One bedroom is teal. One bedroom is yellow. And so I chose paintings that popped on these on this, this colorful background. So that's a sort of been a fun thing. Because I have so many paintings and a relatively small house, once I do a grouping on a particular color wall, I find it difficult to change. So many rooms I've lived with for quite a number of years. I have only one room, which is my dining room, which I can change. I will change. And originally I had only, it was a Rolf Harris room. And then later it was a Brent Malone room. And then it was a mixture of sea scenes. Currently, it's a LeVar Monroe room with all of his work. And I'm about to, it's almost time to change it again. I think I might do Ricardo Knowles, of whose work I have quite a number. So curating one's home is limited to some extent. Then I have another area where I display my ceramics. And there's a lot of work by Jessica Colebrook, who's done some amazing stuff over the years. And actually some of her, by her daughter, Erin, and Sue Bennett-Williams. I adore her work, both her watercolors and her ceramics. And, you know, I'm terribly sorry, but I could go on, and I do believe the time on the show is limited.
Oh, no, we can listen to you for a long time.
We have time. All the time you need.
And actually another aspect that's been of interest to me, too, in terms of collection, is to do things in the garden. And to that end, I have to blame Tyrone Ferguson, who's done a number of sculptures that are in my garden. And I like a bit of whimsy, so some of them are a bit fun. And
they are, yes.
Some of them are a bit nostalgic. And some of them are just interesting.
Right. No, really, going through your home is a... just a visual experience, like an extravaganza of all this very different work from room to room. And that's fascinating that you use the dining area as a room that you change, sort of it's your changing exhibition, and the rest is more of the permanent collection is exhibited there.
Yes, well, that's turned out to be the case. But so if and when I reupholster the furniture in the living room and paint the walls, expect a completely new scene.
Good. Going back to the book a little bit, just to cover a few more sections in it, you have a new section compared to the first book called Body Politics and Feminism. Can you tell us about the artists selected for this section and which stand out to you in particular and why?
Well, you know, this book was also, I should have mentioned when I was talking about the book, this book is laid out in a different way. We wanted them, although the topic and the content is similar, we wanted... a different presentation. And so my Erica, my editor, my dear friend, Dr. Erica James, chose various categories in which to present the work. And Dion Benjamin Smith, also my dear friend and ex-COB a graduate, laid it out in these categories. So we would have a section on ceramics and a section on portraiture and a section on still life and a section on, you know, by category. And the decision was really taken out of my hands as to how it was laid out.
Okay, okay. That's interesting. There's really a collaboration with Dr. James in that regard.
Yes, and Dion.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Dr. James was the commander. And Dion, the two ladies told me exactly what I was doing.
That takes
away. I'm sure they'll disagree totally, but I hope we worked well together.
Good, that's good to hear. You know, I was thinking about how much you've traveled also. We've had several conversations. I know you've traveled quite a bit around the world, and so you've seen a lot of different artwork and masterwork in museums and so on. What is it about the Bahamian work, which is the primary, occupies the biggest section of your collection? Is there anything in particular about Bahamian work, beyond just the fact that it's made here, that really attracted you? Because you have your home is filled with the work. You love the work. You've really just amassed this great collection. Is there anything that you can think of that attracted you to that work as compared to, you know, collecting work by French artists or American artists and so on?
Well, I think by the time I started to travel, I had already the basis of a Bahamian collection. And so when I did travel, although I went to visit all of these museums and loved the artwork, I mean, would have loved to bring some home, I realized that it didn't really fit. And I already had a Bahamian collection. So when I traveled, I bought other things. I bought things for the table, hence tablescapes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or I'd buy clothing and more particularly jewelry, which is easy to carry and also is an art form in its own way. So no, I never had any interest in bringing the most amazing art back from any country.
Mm-hmm.
So my interest is totally on Bahamian art and artists and work that has a meaningful relationship to the Bahamas,
right,
by an artist who was here.
Mm-hmm.
And who painted Bahamian scenes.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about it, too. So the other thing is the relationship. So not only were you buying or collecting people's work from the wall, but you're also developing relationships with all these artists. So you had a very personal connection with the work that's on your walls at home. You can tell stories about those people and so on. Where did that – was John Cox one of the first people that you sort of developed a relationship with in that way, or were there others that started? Can you tell us about some of those connections you've had with artists that are in your book?
Well, you know, my contemporaries would have been Brent Malone,
mm-hmm,
and Rolf Harris and Alton Lowe, as I mentioned previously. So I would have talked to them, and, you know, mm-hmm, it was their work that I initially bought. And then somehow or other, I can't remember when, I started by... Oh, I remember. What's his name? Ricardo. Knowles,
mm-hmm,
Cardo,
mm-hmm,
I started collecting his work. But again, it was very pretty, you know, mm-hmm, Bahamian scenes. And he came to my home. A couple of other artists knowing of my interest, I'm not going to mention all the names, but they would, mm-hmm, also come to my home with their latest artwork. And so, of course, I'd invite them in and would have a a drink or a refreshment of some kind, mm-hmm, and we'd chat about it, and either I would buy or not buy. Kim Smith was one of those who came to, bought me some of his drawings, and, you know, and I could go on and on. So I just slowly established relationships with these people who knew that I had an interest in buying and in seeing their work, and if I could, support them.
That's it. I was going to ask you about that. It's sort of your process for selecting work. And I was asking if you did studio visits, if you went around and saw the artists in the studio. But it sounds like the artists were coming to you.
They did, or yeah. Some of them didn't have a formal studio.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, John Beadle had a studio that was down the lane from my current home. And sometimes on a Sunday morning, if he was there, I'd make two cups of coffee, get in my little golf cart, and drive down to his studio. so it varied. Mm-hmm. If they didn't have a formal studio, obviously you didn't go to it. The first time I met Kendall Hanna, I went to his home, which was on Oaks Field, and mm-hmm, that was quite an experience. I mean, his I think it was a two-bedroom apartment, was absolutely chock-a-block with his work, piled, mm-hmm, on top of, you know, on work on,
wow,
work on,
mm-hmm,
work. And so that was quite an experience. And so it's been a mixture of... And of course, nowadays, we've been buying in the last 2 years online.
You have been. You actually have looked at work and mm-hmm, purchased mm-hmm. online. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole home visit
has changed. That was a COVID necessity.
Right, right. Yes. Wow, that's really fascinating about artists visiting you in your home. So then you're kind of hosting them in your home, and they're showing you their work.
Well, to some extent, yes. And and the other thing, too, is that at some point I decided I wanted it to be as representative as it possibly could be. Mm-hmm. So if Di came to my home or if I saw that she was having a small exhibition, I would buy something just to have it in my collection by somebody who was trying to be an artist, mm-hmm. who might be an artist, but who was working towards it, as mm-hmm. A, by way of encouragement, and B, to have a collection that was broadly representative of mm-hmm. what was happening in Bahamian art and craft.
You're a very proactive collector because you're not just collecting for yourself. You're actually collecting in a way to support art in general. Mm-hmm. So not just for yourself. That's also, I think, a unique aspect of your collecting activity.
And, you know, there was for a number of years an annual event at the retreat, Bahamas National Trust retreat, mm-hmm. which was called Wine and Art. Mm-hmm. And again, that over the years was quite an interesting place to meet new artists mm-hmm. and to see their work and to, I mean, at the very beginning, Rolf Harris was there and Thierry Lamar mm-hmm. displayed his work for a number of years, mm-hmm. and his work is quite exquisite, as you know. Mm-hmm. He's recently done a series of his work featuring Kendall Hanna, which is quite beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's great. The other thing I was kind of curious about as we talked about the collection is what and you said you're still collecting. What is the next phase of your collection? What are you looking forward to now once you publish this, finish this?
Well, I think what I'm going to do is probably just a small catalog, not another 8.5-pound birthing. I would like... And I keep extensive files to the extent that I can on A, the artist, and B, the artwork, so that you know that I have a lot of files. And you know, at some point, it may well be that if the National Art Gallery doesn't have extensive files on artists, either I might have some information, or the Aguilar mm-hmm. Art Foundation might have some information, or mm-hmm. whatever. We're all trying to build files.
Right, right. Now, that's an interesting detail I didn't know either. So you're actually not only just collecting the work, but you're actually collecting the details and the facts and the metadata, so to speak, around the artwork as well. So you have that's historically very valuable too, because those are things that aren't necessarily obvious in the painting.
No, exactly. So if there's any writing or I see any press releases or anything about either the artist or an art show or an exhibition or the particular work, I collect that as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. And for the collection itself, are you? You mentioned the strategy of trying to collect a representational sample of the range of Bahamian art. Are there any other interests that you have? Are you focused on anything these days that's different from before? Or are you just looking at younger artists?
I'm looking at younger artists. I'm continuing to follow those in mid-career. And I'm still collecting my nostalgic mm-hmm. expatriate paintings and a little bit of whimsy. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, somebody has to take my checkbook away from me.
You just can't stop. You just have to keep getting more and more art. Yes. The other thing I kind of was curious about, too, you have your home with all the artwork, but also you've given loans to several institutions, hotels, and so on. Do you ever find yourself visiting, you know, Bahamar to kind of remember that work that is part of your collection?
Well, you know, that's funny you should say that, because I keep thinking, well, I really should go down to Bahamar and make sure that the paintings are still in situ. Mm-hmm. But yes, that was a pleasure. I was really pleased to be able to lend them some work. Mm-hmm. And John Cox, is there. Director of art or whatever his title is, because I believe it changes from time to time. In addition to running mm-hmm. the gallery there, I think he's also very, very responsible for the artwork that is displayed throughout the mm-hmm. campus. But I'm very pleased that is the case, because it's nice for the artwork to be aired and for people to see it. You know, it's fine for it to be in my collection, but it's much nicer for the artist and for the viewer to be able to see it.
It's been wonderful to have you, Dawn. Thank you so much for spending time with us today and answering all these questions. so well and in so much detail. The book, Love and Responsibility 2, the Don Davies Collection of Art, is available at the NAGB Mixed Media Store. And Di, I'll let you wrap up.
Absolutely. This was absolutely a pleasure, a total delight. I look forward to the next one. But tune in each Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. on Guardian Talk Radio 96.9 FM, The Blank Canvas with the NAGB. Don't forget to check out your favorite museum once again, www.nagb.org.bs, or follow us on social media, the NAGB on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Any last words?
Okay, it's been a pleasure, Di, to have this meeting with you and Dr. Barkey. I wish you the very best of luck at the NAGB, and I'm delighted that you're there.
Thank you very much. I also am looking forward to all that work.